Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. How are you, you beautiful gooners? Oh, what a night! We won! Can't believe it. Well, let's introduce the guys tonight. First of all, it's that London guy, it's Carl. Say hello, Carl.
Hello, 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 hello. Shit the bed, we fucking won. Can you believe this? Bloody hell.
It's been a tough few weeks, hasn't it?
It has, but, you know, today, I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched football for a good 2 weeks, but I'm happy now. I am very, very happy, and I'm going to enjoy this show.
Good man, good man. Also joining us tonight, we have Ellis Mel. Say hello, Ellis.
Hello. It's good to finally be back with an actual decent internet connection. And a good result for Arsenal, so it's a win-win.
Happy days, Ripal. Happy days. Happy days. Okay, right. Glad to have you boys on board. Let's look at the chat box. First in tonight, it was Daniel Cronin with AFC Cam. Then Archie, Kashif Ahmed, Oscar Arias. Here he goes. Try to get down here. We've got formerly Noza. Oh, I'll tell you what. Danny the GFP's there. Matsanasi, Petito 100. Oh, it's all going on. Kevin Urenda and 235 100. Schwinn's there. Do-do-do. Who else? Squires, two for you. Oh, Lossless, Sidhu 7549. Oh, they're all there. Look at them. Frogower, formerly Noza, Fat Boy, Not So Slim. I like that a lot. Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet. Was there Kelly Mars there as well? I missed somebody. If I've missed you, I'm really sorry. Well, what can we say? Merkin Kay's there, Corey Sealers, Mashefik One, Frank Gunner. Oh, it's all good tonight, guys. Oh, Sunath Murani, Andrew Lane, Carly Joel Guna, Shivan Tata, Hunter's Law. Zolomon, sorry. Natasha Nunes. Tash is in there. Oh, hi, Tash. How are you? Javier Mireles. Josh Gunner forever. Ron Rees there. My 25's there. Sean Baker's there. Clayton Mardix is there. Right. Chris Lodato's there. Hello, all. How the devil are you? Oh, Yemi Fash is there. Dean Robinson, 1983. Ah, oh, jeepers. Reese 1237. My 25, Gooner SP. We have a lot of happy Gooners tonight. I tell you what, let's get into it. Honestly, guys, the last... Oh, Daniel Murphy. We'll say hello to Daniel Murphy. The last few weeks has been tough for all the guys. You know, it really has been hard. And tonight, to see that, you know, to win away in the San Siro, fantastic. So everyone's happy. So let's get straight into it. Carl, I'm coming to you first. The lineups. What do you think of the lineup?
I thought it was the strongest team we had available to put out. I looked at it and I thought, I'm not unhappy with that team. You know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I knew Welbeck wouldn't be the greatest up front. But apart from wanting to change him, there was no one else that I'd rather want in that squad. I thought it was the strongest team that we had. And going forward, and I know sort of hindsight's a wonderful thing, like I said, but the team I thought was really well. The only one thing I maybe would have done is switched Wilshire and Ramsey. I'd rather have Ramsey in that sort of quote unquote number 10 role and have Wilshire running from deep. But apart from that, it was a very, very strong lineup and a very good turn, a very, very good team.
Sorry, yes, yeah. I'm not sure about Jack further up. I prefer him as a deep playmaker, but. Especially second half, I thought he played well. I thought he really got into the game second half. First half, I wasn't so impressed, but second half, he got into it. He seemed really, really lively. He was at it, getting about the place. Ellis, what were your thoughts on it? We started quite slowly. Milan came out of the blocks at us, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I think a lot of it's got to do with obviously what happened with that poor player who was found dead in his hotel. They're probably up for it. Obviously, the minute of silence. And I thought they probably would come out and try and sort of do it for him. They come out the blocks flying. And I think we weathered the initial storm quite well, and it wasn't sort of long before we started to find our feet and started to take control a bit more. And yeah, I think the initial lineup, like Carl, I thought it was probably the best lineup we could have put out. When I saw it on paper, I thought, width wise, would we be able to create enough width with Erz and Mkhitaryan? Both guys sort of like to come in a bit, but Kolasinac, there's a lot of joy for him down that left hand side, down Milan's right. And he was sort of like heavily involved in a lot of attacks that were going on there once we did start to get our foot on the ball. And yeah, like you say, it could have been a lot worse. And I won't lie and say I predicted us to lose quite heavily, and we didn't. It was a nice surprise. I watched the game with my dad. He came round, and the first when he walked in, he saw us in the little blue training tops. He's like, "We're not wearing that fucking blue kit again. That's it. I'm going." It was like, I think it's something like, I don't know, 1 win in 10 with that blue kit, but an away win in a blue top, like, lovely job. So yeah, I was very pessimistic, but it didn't take long for me personally watching the game to settle my nerves a bit. We looked good, and where has this Arsenal team been for the last however many weeks, months even, since the turn of the year?
yeah, let's be fair. You know, we've been a shadow of what we should be recently. And before we move on, yeah, let's give a quick shout out. It's Daniela's story, isn't it? You could see from, who's the Juventus defender? Is it Chiellini? Who's the other one?
Bonucci, who's now at AC Milan.
No, there's the other one as well.
Barzagli, no?
I think it's Chiellini who's been interviewed last night after they beat the Scum. And you could see the emotion in his face. This has obviously knocked Italian football to see such a popular guy pass away so young. There was as John said, I'm not sure who it was. It was Fifey on the podcast. Fiorentina have given his family a salary for life. Obviously heartbreaking, and our thoughts and go out to everybody who knew him and everybody who was affected by this. It was, you know, it's horrible to see a young player pass away so young. We wouldn't want that to happen to anyone. So our thoughts are with them all, because it's just a tragedy. So shout out to them, and our thoughts are with you. But again, as you say, Ellis, after the initial onslaught, we kind of got into it and we started to control the game. Carl, it wasn't long before we started, making chances. You know, we started, I don't think we were impressive with the press, but when we did turn the ball over, we were very methodical and very thoughtful and really started to carve out some decent chances. How did you see the game unfold?
I think in the first 10 minutes, I think you'd have to say that AC Milan were kind of on top. They were creating chances, but even though they were creating chances, it was never sort of a clear-cut chances. They were just shots and crosses that were coming in, and I don't think they'd done really that well with them. But it's not something I'd ever say probably again, but Arsenal defended well. You know, we had a few hiccups, and what team doesn't? You know, even Juventus, who can defend brilliantly, they have hiccups as well. And I think today we saw a cool and composed Arsenal. You know, Mustafi, Koscielny, and I think Chambers as well. There was a stretch of where AC Milan kept attacking down our right side, but I still think that they never really put us under real pressure. And I think we just controlled the game. And our passing in the first half, the second part of the first half, I think was really slick. I think every time we did lose the ball, we got it back quite quickly, and we was doing these cynical fouls. I don't know if you noticed it, where if there was danger, we would literally just pop a little foul and run back just to give us time to compose ourselves. And I think that was really, really good what we did. The only clear-cut chance, I think, in the first half that I believe AC Milan had was when, I can't remember what player it was, on goal, when Ospina came out and, for some unknown reason, Robbie Savage, who's an idiot, and I don't want to use the word that I really want to use, but telling him, oh, he should have left his training leg and gone down. Like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. If you're not touched in the box, don't go down. I'm not just saying this because it's Arsenal. I'm genuinely saying, don't go down. That's encouraging players to dive. And Robbie Savage just blatantly telling you there, yeah, leave your leg out and dive. Guys are flipping.
I was watching an American stream, and the guy said nearly the same thing.
Yeah, Robbie Savage literally said, oh, he should have gone down there. He should have left his training leg and gone down. But he wasn't touched. So just, I don't know, football for me is just different. Like, you can't, if you're not touched, don't go down. But that's the only clear-cut chance I think that they, AC Milan, really, really had until we started to get on top of the game and then we created our first chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And you had the Mkhitaryan effort a bit earlier on. Welbeck, poor Danny Welbeck at times. I thought he worked really hard tonight. I thought he played well, apart from in front of goal. You know, he was creating mischief up top. And then we turned the ball over and it led to the opening goal. Ellis, talk me through it, mate.
Yeah, it was a well-worked goal. I think was it just before Xhaka played out a really good ball, sort of long sprayed ball up to Koscielniak, and it sort of turned over and then came back to us. Found Mesut Ozil, then found Mkhitaryan. He sort of, to me at the time, I thought he was dawdling on the ball a bit too much. He might get tackled, but he kept hold of the ball just long enough to find a bit of space and blast it into the back of the net. I think just before that as well, he had a chance where he hit the side net, and I also thought it had gone in. So it was quite lively down that side, especially, like I said earlier, with Koscielniak getting down there. Obviously, we've had criticism of him in the past, but going forwards, I think his defence is what people moan about him. But going forward, he's quite good, and he was quite good until, obviously, he got his injury. And Mkhitaryan, again, sort of plugging away. He could have had a two or three tonight from that sort of left-hand attacking midfield role that he took on. And, yeah, quality taken goal. I will say, though, like Xhaka, another player who's sort of been criticised, he done quite well today. And I think when he's played in the right formation with the right people around him, I know you say you don't like Jack Wilshere's sort of that push forward, but it felt to me that he was more sort of a bit further back, perhaps, with Ramsey and Xhaka at times. And that was sort of a three-man midfield we had going on there. And I think it gave Xhaka a bit more time and space. Also, you could probably attribute that to the Italians and the Italian sort of league and the way they sort of give people a bit more space than they do in the Premier League. Like, they didn't really press us. And I think Mesut Ozil got a lot more space than what he would normally get in the Premier League. And I think that showed, especially with the ball through to Mkhitaryan there. And when we come into the other goal here, Mesut Ozil was involved in that as well. Like, he did pick up a lot of time and space on the ball, which, as bad as we have been of late, if you give someone like the quality of Mesut Ozil time and space, and players like Mkhitaryan and even Danny Welbeck, you say poor Welbs, but he ran his heart out and he was picking up space and he was getting to these really good attacking positions where he could score. And if his touch was a bit better, if he was a bit more technically gifted, say, then he probably would have had a goal from him as well. But yeah, like, well taken from Mkhitaryan. I think they said in commentary, I was listening to the BT commentary anyway, and they said it's been about 6 months since his last goal. So he was due one, and obviously it came in the Europa League, and he had quite a good run with Man United in the Europa League when they won it last season. So hopefully he can continue that with us and in this Europa League.
Yeah, okay. I thought Xhaka played very well. We're going to come on to individual performances a bit later, because I thought there were some crackers there. I really thought, you know, with all the criticism the team has had recently, guy stood up today, and it's about time. It is about time. Let's not exonerate them from some of the tosh they've put out recently, but it was wonderful to see them perform the way they did tonight. The one thing, Carl, that kind of struck me about the whole game actually was in the first half, especially, you know, we'd soak up a bit of pressure, we'd turn the ball over. And in the counter, we were very methodical in the counter. One of the counter attacks we made, it was at a slug's pace. We messed it up, but, you know, we weren't giving the ball away quite so sloppily as we have been recently. As Ellis has already mentioned, do you put that down to the Italian style? What did you think of that?
I think the game was just slower today and it suited us a lot, which sounds weird because Arsenal were known for our attacking flair, our pacey strikers getting forwards, and literally that's not the Italian game. It is, like you said, Jason, slow and methodical. And maybe that's just how we are now. Maybe that's the players we've got. you know, the Premiership is known as being a very fast-paced league. You get no time on the ball. And in Italy, you kind of do get some time on the ball. And today, it almost like that's what we needed. We needed, you know, time to get the ball, look up, then pick out a player. Get the ball, look up, then pick out a player. So maybe what I'm trying to say is that we should transfer our club to the Serie A. And obviously, we're going to win it. Like, clearly. But no, in all honesty, I think the Italian clubs rather kind of stand off you a little bit. And I think that's suited our game today. It really did. Had we been hunted down, then maybe we wouldn't have got the result. But, you know, you can't fault sort of what the Arsenal team did today. I thought they were very, very good.
Yeah, so yeah, I totally agree. Ellis, one of the things in the first half I really liked about the way we defended was if we needed to, it got smashed at the park. We didn't mess around with the ball. You know, when we passed it around at the back, we were quite solid. There were a couple of silly little turnovers, but you know, when we needed to, we smashed that ball up. What do you think of it?
I think, genuinely, whole, not just the first half, defensively, we were really good. Like, harking back, obviously taking the piss out of Spurs, getting knocked out by Juventus, and everyone was sort of going on about how the Italian defenders for Juve were putting their body on the line, throwing themselves in front of the balls. I thought the guys for Arsenal, Koscielny, Mustafi, they're both doing it. And yeah, we can say there was a couple of turnovers, there's some silly passes, but like you said, that I felt at times they weren't afraid to just put their foot through it and get rid of it. And we've always been criticised, even when we've been playing well, even in the good Arsenal teams of old, they'd still try and pass it out from the back and sometimes it would bite them the arse. But today we didn't really do that. We had the odd time when we would. But I thought we played really well. And I just thought Chambers, like Carl's mentioned, he benefited from the lack of pace that AC Milan had, and he dealt quite well. He was probably, when I looked at the lineup initially, the one that I thought he could put a threat. We haven't really got particularly abundance of pace now since we sold the likes of Theo Walker and Sanchez. And I thought anyone who has got sort of pace and gets past us, the likes of Mkhitaryan and Ozil aren't going to track back and help out our fullbacks. But we did well. I think everyone positionally was okay. When we did, like you mentioned, have those silly turnovers, it felt to me like there was people back there willing to cover it, or not even willing, just back there ready if there was a mistake. And I think that helps a lot. At times in watching Arsenal at the moment, you can see players turn it over and there's no one really covering it. They're either too far pushed up the pitch, players are out of position, or if they are, the person that is trying to track back hasn't quite got the recovery speed to get back there. Whereas today, whether, like we've mentioned, it is the slow speed of this AC Milan team, or if it is just the fact that positionally we're a bit better. And without trying to put it on a negative spin, I'll try and bring it back around positive after. It's frustrating when you see Arsenal play like this at the moment, but when they play against other teams, they don't quite play like it. But hopefully this is a stepping stone they can build on. If they can sit there, you can moan and say whatever you like about Wenger and coaching the defence. If they can play like that on a game like tonight, they should be able to play from, and they should be able to take heart and think, right, we can do that. Like if they do even look back at their games and think, look at me there, I was positioning in a good position. Xhaka turned it over, Wilshere turned it over, but I was here, so-and-so was there, and we had options. And it's good to see, and it's something that they need to try and build on and work on for the rest of the season. Like the Premier League, it's gone now, top four's gone. This is probably our best bet, for me personally, of getting a Champions League spot. So if we can hopefully get a bit lucky with the draw and we can play like this in Europa League, then we've got a good shout. It's just the players just got to be switched on. They've got to be willing. They've got to have the energy to run around for each other and the passion to get involved. And they just need to show this attitude more often. And regardless of what's going on with the management, they as professionals, you just sort of step up and just go, look, we can do it. I know we can do it. We've played well. Let's do it again. And when it comes back to playing the Emirates, you've obviously got a 2-0 lead here. Play like that. Don't let it slip. Shouldn't say don't let it slip. That's a Gerrard thing. That could probably come back and bite us in the arse. But yeah, they just need to step up and just play how they play today. Because positionally, like you say, defending, they were great for me. And it's hard to be positive in the season we have. But when you look at that, you've just got to praise them for the way they played. And they did play well tonight, especially defensively, positionally as well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, pal. I totally agree. Carl, we had a few efforts on goal coming up towards the end of the second half. We really began to dominate the game. You had Chambers with a good effort, Welbeck with a good effort, Mkhitaryan with a good effort. All of a sudden, we looked a force, didn't we? You know, from as Ellis has alluded to, from the sort of tragedy of recent performances, well, not the tragedy, sorry, but the patheticness of recent performances, on to actually look important in front of goal. You know, we were building the pressure upon them. We were really starting to pile it on. You know, you must have been enjoying that, mate.
Yeah, I felt that we needed a performance like this. And in all honesty, I didn't think it would come in this game. You know, you can win, but not win well. And I think today we won and we won well. We played a very good game of football, which is not something you can say that Arsenal have done in the last 2, 3, 4 months. You know, even when we beat Everton like 5-0, you know, people will say, oh, but it was Everton. And again, I've had people on my phone and say, oh, but they sent the AC Milan of old. Regardless of if it's not the AC Milan of old, and regardless if they're seventh in the table, they were on a 13-game unbeaten run. Hadn't conceded in, what, something like 7 games. And we've gone and scored 2 goals in the first half. So, you know, it's not very often that Arsenal this season have made me feel happy about watching them. But today they did. I think, you know, our build-up play was really, really good. And, yeah, in the first half, in the beginning of the first half, we wasn't the best. We wasn't, you know, sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. But I think we grew into the game. And I think our confidence grew. The fact that we didn't concede in, like, the first 10, 20 minutes, and I think that sort of gave the players the impetus to carry on. And that's how we created chances. And I guess we can talk about the first goal now. And the build-up to the first goal was really good. And that ball from Ozil, because even me, I was like, for fuck's sake, Ozil, what are you doing in this game? And that ball to Mkhitaryan was just absolutely superb. And for Mkhitaryan to sort of control it, coming on the inside and then shoot. And yeah, it took a deflection, but, you know, credit to Mkhitaryan. What he did for me was really, really good. And you can't always... You need a bit of luck in games. And I think that deflection, you know, that's the luck we needed. I think it may have gone on target anyway, or Donnarumma may have got a hand to it. You never know. But, you know, it just kept Donnarumma flat-footed, went into the net, and, you know, 1-0 to Arsenal. When I was, for one, definitely celebrating, because, one, we haven't really scored a goal for ages. And to go 1-0 up in the San Siro, for me, was absolutely brilliant.
Mate, I couldn't agree more. I always believe you make your own luck. You know, if you work hard, you become better. You know, you get the basics right and you build that confidence and grow from there. And after recent weeks, I predicted a win tonight. I always predict a win, though. But I did feel, A, that the Italian league is weaker than the Premier League. And as much as AC Milan have been on form, you know, I haven't watched them this season, but I trusted us to bounce back. And thankfully, you know, we did. It was so wonderful, you know. You're in a highly emotional, magnificent, historic stadium for, you know, since Italia 90. The San Siro is one of the great world football stadiums. And by the way, a big shout out to Fifi, who's over there tonight enjoying that. And when you take the lead against teams like that, and I think Mkhitaryan made his own luck there, it's just a wonderful feeling. We go on, Ellis, to the end of the first half and we double the lead. Go on, talk.
Aaron Ramsey, like, you're probably going to love this, but to have the balls to do that, it's just lovely. Like, the first thing I said was sort of just filth, utter filth. Obviously, it's a great ball, sort of pinpoint through ball from Mesut Ozil to Ramsey, picks up and, like you say, you've just talked about, regardless of where AC Milan are in the table and all that sort of stuff, it's still AC Milan. It's a historic stadium. And to have the balls to do that in that stadium, just sort of take a little fake, walk around the keeper and then pass it into the back of the net, it's just, Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I love goals like that because it's you just sort of think, what's going through his head at that moment to just be like, yeah, fuck it, let's take a little touch. Yeah, fine. Solid way, calm as you like, cool as you like. And you're like, wow, quality goals. Yeah, just loving it. And I was generally, I just thought, how has this happened? Like, I was so pessimistic going into it. And to be, like you say, 2-0 up just before half time was amazing. I was buzzing and it's a quality goal. And like I said before, in about the first goal, Mesut Ozil just getting too much time and space on the ball. And he'll do that all day long if you give him space to do it. And you know Ramsey's got that in their locker. He's always making those sort of runs from deep. And we do miss him when he's injured. And obviously when he's sort of on form and fit and firing, his quality, like people can say he hasn't, people have moaned that he didn't hit that sort of purple patch he had long time ago. But this season, when he's been fit and played, and we have scored goals, he's either been the one scoring or he's been involved in at least with an assist or like the first pass before the assist. And he's just such a quality player, and we do need him in the team when he's fit and fine. We need him there. And again, just to have the balls to do that, I love it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was a thing of beauty. I will expand on this a little bit. There was the Ramsey flick from the ball up to Welbeck, Carl. And Welbeck, cool as you like, I know it's an easy pass, but you know he didn't panic. He just shifted the ball over to Ozil. Ramsey points to where he wants it. And in all honesty, a lot of people saying great ball from Mesut Ozil. I expect Mesut Ozil to do that. A player of his quality.
Oh, yeah, he should be. And if he's got the people running for him to pass the ball like that, then, yeah, I mean, I want him to do that sort of stuff for Lacazette and I want him to do that sort of stuff for Aubameyang, and hopefully, you know, going forward, he will. But this is why we pay him 350 grand a week. This is why we want him to stay in our squad, for him to do things like that. You know, the pass was exquisite. And like you said, Jason, we do expect him to do that. You know, it's almost a quote-unquote, he's the best number 10 in the world. And to an extent, he is. And when he does stuff like that, it kind of shows you his absolute quality. And we have the players around and in the squad for him to express and show just how good he is. And I'm not saying he should do that every single game, but if he has the runners to do that, then Mesut Ozil can flourish. Mesut Ozil would get definitely, you know, 20 assists a season. Of course he would. So hopefully he will carry on doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, I totally agree, mate. I totally agree. That was the end of the first half. Right, guys. As you all know, all the guys give up their time to do this. If you could give us a thumbs up, we would really appreciate it. The chat box is so happy tonight. Some fantastic banter going back and forth. Some really good points being made. So we'll have a few shouts outs. We got Marcus Hodges. We got Stephen Trout. We've got Ben Sabre. Daniel Murphy. I've mentioned Archie. The McManus. We love the McManus. CDU7549. Frank Gunner's there. Thomas from Norway. So obviously, no, is that the great Stephen Edwards is there. Edward Spencer's there. My 25 Kendra end I've mentioned. Dave Faber's there. We love Dave Faber. Stephen Parr's there. Gospel Pan is there. Sorry, guys. I know I'm.
There's some funny called Dom, not too sure who he is.
So that funny Dom's there. Oh well. Yeah. There's also Clive. There's also Cheboy 72. Rudy Rastlos, Lossless is there. Radi Chew Chew was there. Simon Ekambak is there. Like that. I love this chat box. Stefan Selby, the great Stefan Selby's there. Chris Lodato's there. Abdul Farah's there. If I've missed anybody, I do apologise. I am going to miss a few of you, so I'm ever so sorry. Marble Halls TV is there. Loki73 is there. Have I mentioned Rudy Rastlos? But he's there. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm so happy. I can't believe I'm so happy after an Arsenal win. Come on, guys. We're on 60 thumbs. Get us to 100. Let's do it. Neil Vergela's there. Oh, Jersey Guna 46 is there. Oh, tell you what. Honestly, guys. Dennis Van... Oh, I'm going to murder this. Van Kilder Larsen. He's there. Yeah.
Spot
on. I got it right. Oh, look at this. Srinath Murali's there. I'm going to tell you what. Neil Vergela gets two shout-outs because we love him. Okay? Frank Gunner gets two shout-outs. Oh, I tell you. Honestly, guys, I'm over the moon. Brian Fetner's there. Von Cringe. Estrogen 975. David Lancaster.
What do you think the reason why we didn't sort of progress in the second half? I guess we've got to have some sort of negative in this. Do you think it was the fact that AC Milan defended better, or do you think we kind of settled for for the 2-0? Sorry.
I'm just going to mention Jacob Sundberg first. Hello, Jacob. No, I think we went out there to do a professional job, in all fairness, Carl. I think we knew they were going to come out all guns blazing second half. Gattuso is a passionate guy, you know. Still his finest moment is smashing Joe Jordan and the Scum. And you know that they're going to come out, you know, they're going to come out fired up. And I think in exactly the same way as in the first half, they came at us first 5 minutes. I think the game plan was, let's soak it up. Let's take it on. Let's, you know, let's control the game. Let's not be silly in the way we approach this. Let's make sure we got cool heads. And to be fair, AC Milan, you know, they're on a good run of form. They're no mugs. They've been playing well. You know they're going to have... You know, we dominated that first half. You know they're going to come back into the game. So it was a kiss of not... Let's not make the silly mistakes that we've made recently. You look back at the last few games and you look at the number of mistakes that have led to goals against us. And I think we cut that out tonight. You know, when we did make a mistake, we jumped on it. You know, and I think... It's important to look at, I don't think it's a negative question. I think it's an honest question that you've made there. And I think you'll look at the positives, the way we controlled that game. You know, there was lots of people, you know, making a real effort to get back. I thought Mkhitaryan was fantastic in the way he defended, got back, closed down. I thought Jack's second half upped his level because in the first half, I wasn't impressed with him at all. I thought he was bang average first half. And I thought the second half, he looked livelier. He looked lighter on his feet. You know, he looked more confident. And it was great to see. It was great to see that with all the players, to be fair. And I think it's important to stress that, you know, a bit of character, you know. It's when you've got that little bit of confidence, the character builds. And I think we could see that through the game. Ellis... Danny Welbeck, beginning the second half, hard running, pressurises Donnarumma. It nearly goes in off his face. How unlucky was he?
I don't know. Lucky, unlucky. Lucky it came off his face and nearly looked like a goal. I don't know. It's Danny Welbeck all over. Like, I just wish he could have, I don't know, some of the skill that Mesut Ozil puts into his hard work. Because he's got such a good hard work ethic and it's just... He runs and runs, and even towards the end of this game, he was chasing balls down. And I love him for that, but he's just a bit of a donkey, bless him. I think Steve put it perfectly and when he quoted someone's tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it, but he quoted someone's tweet in there about, like, Danny Welbeck must be defender's worst nightmares because how are they meant to know what he's about to do if even Danny Welbeck doesn't know what he's about to do? Like, sometimes his first touch can go anywhere. You're not really sure what he's going to do. And it's just... He works so hard and like he does deserve a goal. But I thought tonight he looked a lot sharper than what he was. And he's never been a great finisher. He's never been that technically gifted, but he's always worked hard. But I felt since coming back from injury, he hasn't really had the sort of pace and the stamina that he has had. So it just makes it look even worse, I suppose. The sort of technical ability that he's lacking is just highlighted even more when he's not running around and working as hard as he can. And today I thought he'd done really well. And fair play to him because Lacazette's injured, Aubameyang can't feature. He is the best striker we can put out. Obviously, people are going to talk about Eddie Nketiah, but for me, like you're going to have to pick Welbeck over him if you're going to start. And he played well. You can criticise him for not scoring when he could have a chance. I think there's another chance maybe in the first half when he was put through in. And you just thought if he sort of lifted the ball up a bit more over Donnarumma instead of playing it along the ground, then he may have had a goal there as well. But like I said, there's Danny Welbeck all over. He's just a bit lacking in talent. But what he does lack in talent, he makes up for just determination and hard work.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, I think we have to acknowledge as well the injury problems he's had have hampered his game. You know, and I think that it must be soul destroying to be injured for so long, then get a game here, game there. You know, at the beginning of the season, yes, okay, they may go in off his shin, but he was scoring freely. And now that, you know, since he's come back from injury, he's looked a shadow of the player he could be.
I think as well, like Lacazette, Aubameyang, before they come to Arsenal, they were proven goal scorers. And you can see that we're not creating enough for talented strikers like that to score. So that's even harder for someone like Danny Welbeck, which is highlighted that sometimes he'll score off a shin and or a bad first touch. But when Lacazette and Aubameyang aren't getting great service, that means he's not getting the same. And it's just going to be twice as hard for someone like him.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Carl, we've mentioned the defence already. You know, I thought Chambers was particularly good. I thought Mustafi was very good. I thought Kolasinac was decent. He's far better going forward. I do like some of his defending tonight. There wasn't the pace to worry him so much. But I thought the guy who really improved his performance on recent performances was Koscielny. He had a great tip of the toes clearance when the ball is a really dangerous ball in the box. What did you make of Koscielny tonight, mate?
Well, he was decent, and I'd be honest with you, I haven't been Koscielny's biggest fan in the longest time. I still think he needs replacing this season. I think that his time is winding down. I mean, he's finished, but I think his time is winding down. But today, like I said, we just absolutely suit Italian football, it seems, because he, I think, controlled the defence. And this is the Koscielny of old. I think he had time. He wasn't making these stupid runs way up the pitch. You know, he done his primary job first, which was to defend. And I do like that. And today, I think his partnership with Mustafi, he was talking a lot. I don't know if anyone noticed that he was definitely talking a lot. And I think that's what needs to happen. You need bags of talking in defense. Sometimes you need to coach the defense where you want them to go forward, go back, go wide, come in, you know. And I think that was really, really good. And that's what I want to see, bags of talking from Koscielny. And hopefully going forward towards the end of the season, we can kind of discover a defensive stability. That's what we need first of all. We just need the stability in our defense, and then going forward we can build a good foundation, and hopefully going forward focus on that.
I absolutely agree. Ellis, then we saw there's a little incident. Kolasinac, a handball, as Carl has mentioned. There were lots of little fouls, you know, things we've been crying out for, really. Lots of little fouls to stop the attacks happening, you know. And I thought that epitomised it. It's going to get dangerous. I'll take one for the team. Did you see a lot of that during the game? What do you think?
I thought we saw a lot of that from both sides, really. Like, Italian football teams are well known for it. They're good at the sort of the dark arts of defending. It's what they do. You saw it last night. If anyone watched the Juve game, they were doing it there. They were winding up some of the players, Spurs players. So that was lovely to see. And you can see AC Milan players get involved in it tonight. And you also saw that from Arsenal, which is not a side that you rarely see that from Arsenal, especially in the league. So to sort of go sort of toe-to-toe with an Italian team and sort of get involved a bit, I think Kolasinac was harshly done by for that handball. I think that was a bit harsh. And if I am going to be critical of the referee, I don't think he had a bad game by all means, but we seem to get a bit more. I think Ramsey got a booking as well, and the AC Milan players seem to be getting away with a bit more than we did, but only marginal stuff if you're going to be like hypercritical. But I think both teams did it. I think we did it quite well, and it's something that we cry out for, like you say, players to do on a daily basis, and it doesn't quite happen, but they did it well tonight, and they snuffed out most of the sort of counterattacks that AC Milan had or the attacks they did have. And at points during, not necessarily the second half, because like you say, we took the foot off the gas, we brought on a couple more defenders and we sort of sat back and soaked up the pressure a bit more. But in terms of like the first half, I just thought we played really well and we were getting involved, getting stuck in, and we're doing the sort of things that you want Arsenal players to do, and they did it well.
Absolutely, mate, absolutely. We saw towards the end of the game, Carl, we saw a few, we saw three substitutions. Kolasinac goes off with a strain of some sort. Chambers again with a strain of some sort. And Ozil is hooked to shore up the defence. I thought they were, you know, obviously, you know, the injury substitutions, there's nothing you can do about that. I genuinely thought it was the right thing to do with bring holding on and take Ozil off. I don't think he was having much of an effect in the game at that point. Do you agree with me or do you have a different viewpoint on that?
This seems to be a first of many for me for ages. I was actually impressed with Arsene Wenger's substitutions today. I genuinely was. And do you know what? I don't know why. In the back of my head, I can just hear Chris Carpenter's voice saying, I have to think of that and D tactics. Like, I can just hear him saying that right now. But I thought today his substitutions were spot on. I really did. I thought we didn't need Ozil on the pitch. So, yeah, take him off and bring another defender, show up the defence. Bringing on Elneny gives you that midfield element as well of holding on to the ball and passing it as well. I think that was spot on. So today, you know, give credit where credit is due. No, Arsene Wenger hasn't done brilliantly lately and my view still hasn't changed on him, but sometimes you've got to give credit where credit is due. And he's done his tactics today or his substitutions were very, very good. And I think, you know, sometimes we're very quick to criticise, but we're slow to praise and it's human nature. But I definitely think that today his substitutions were very, very good and they were made at the right time as well. Because just when you thought to yourself, okay, the last 20 minutes or the last 15 minutes, AC Milan are definitely going to try and apply some pressure, bring in an extra defender. You know, letting them have to break us, really, really try to break us down. And they obviously, the tactics works because they couldn't break us down today.
Yeah. And this is one of the things, I mean, when, I can't remember which one of the players went down, the guys came over the sideline, there was a little bit of tactical instruction from Wenger as well, which, you know, he does do. This is the thing that kind of frustrates me. People have a go at him for just sitting there and watching the game. He did that when we were playing well. It's always been who he is. And, you know, it is difficult for these guys to change who they are. A lot of this is down to the players, you know, they're experienced internationals. They have to actually manage a game. They have to learn to manage a game. And, you know, it's one of those things. I just enjoyed tonight so much. I enjoyed tonight so much just watching the performance of these guys and the way they've come back from adversity, the way they've, you know, they have let themselves down recently and they've come back and they've shown a bit of bottle. That's the kind of game. Guys, if you've got any questions in the chat box, pop them in there. We'll try to get through as many as we can. Ellis, let's talk about certain individuals tonight. Mesut Ozil, what do you think of his performance?
Yeah, quite a performance, really. Like I've mentioned before, when you give him the sort of time and space that Milan did tonight, he's going to thrive on that. People have been critical. Obviously, he's had a new contract. Carl's mentioned 350k a week. You expect him to do what he did tonight, but at the end of the day, he's involved in both the goals. And even though you expect it, it doesn't always happen. That's football. Players of whatever quality can be tactically played out of a game, man marked out of a game. But today, that wasn't the case. He was given the freedom space to sort of work his magic, and he did. And for me, it's good to see because it just feels like. Obviously, you haven't scored that much. To me, it feels like Ozil hasn't been involved in hardly any goals since the turn of the year, if any. Obviously, you'd have to look at the stats for that. But to see him back sort of performing is quality. And like you say, it's long overdue for a good Arsenal performance. And like you, I loved it. And it's just both the balls he played were just quality balls. The one for Ramsey, threaded through ball, hard needle stuff. And then the one sort of over the top to Mkhitaryan. Both different balls, but both quality nevertheless. And it was great to see, and he did have a good game.
Yeah, I do agree. I did have a worry about him earlier on. He made a token effort to close him down. And I thought, oh no, we're not going to have one of those nights. But
he does that all the time, though. Even when he's playing well, he's, like you say, he is the master of looking like he's closing down, but not really. But that's not what you have Mesut Ozil and the team for at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Look, when people say it's not his job, that's utter bollocks. It's everybody's job to defend. It's everybody's job to defend. And I just think that sometimes, okay, when, you know, if somebody knows he's going to make the effort to get there, but he's not going to actually go through with the challenge, then it's an easy decision for the person who's under pressure. I'll just hold the ball, take a step and play out tidily. And I think that's something that Mesut has to improve on, to be honest with you. The Premier League, you know, is hard. In Italy, you can get away with it. You know, in some leagues, sorry, you can get away with it now and again. But, you know, to be fair, he played well tonight. I really enjoyed his performance. Carl Xhaka, what do you think of Xhaka?
Again, another first. This is getting really bad. I'm telling you, I thought he's played well. I thought, in a midfield three, when he's got runners ahead of him, and I'm sure I can remember talking to John about this, you know, when he's got people that will do the running for him, I think he plays very, very well. I think when he doesn't have to do too much, you know, when he's got the time and space to spray balls, and he was popping balls all over the place. He played a brilliant ball over to, I think it was Mkhitaryan on the left-hand side, and even I was like, ooh, what a pass. Like, you had to, he done well today. And I think that's what it is. I think our players just like to play slower football. I don't think we can handle the intenseness of the Premiership. And I think we like to sort of just slow it down a little bit. And that's what we did today. We dictated the pace of that game today. It was all about Arsenal. Really, everything was about Arsenal. So I think today we done well. Definitely Xhaka was very, very good today, and hopefully he can build upon these performances. I really hope that when we fly back to England and they watch that game, I hope they'll watch that game tomorrow or whenever, and they say, that's how you should play. That's what you should do, because there is a player in Xhaka. There is a very good player within Granit Xhaka. We just need to bring it out, and whether Arsene Wenger is that man to do, we don't know, but we definitely need to bring that player out of Xhaka and show the world that he is a good footballer. He is a brilliant passer of the ball. I think his passing is very underrated. If you look at it, you know, the defensive side of his game is not very good, but today, can't criticise him. I thought he was very, very good today, tactically aware, and he wasn't running forward. The only thing you can maybe say was that shot at the very, 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 very end, where I think him and Arsene had a bit to do. But apart from that, I think Xhaka had a very good game today.
Yeah, we discussed it after the last radio show, and Sam Collins made the comment in our group tonight, where Collins made the comment, do you think Xhaka would suit the Italian league, or the Italian league suits Xhaka? And one of the comments after the last radio show I did, I just look at his feet. You know, you can't compare him to Santi Cazorla, as in, you know, their skill set. But Cazorla had such quick feet. Okay, you know, Iwobi's got quick feet. It's just the decision making which lets him down and again. And Xhaka hasn't got quick feet. And so those extra seconds on the ball, they really help him. You know, those extra seconds really, really help him. And I think, you know, it was lovely to see him play well tonight, you know, because the last time I thought he really, really played well was against Tottenham at home. And I thought, you know, him and Ramsey dominated Tottenham. I thought they were great that day. And, you know, the grass that they covered was immense, and it was nice to see. Ellis, let's bring it back to Aaron Ramsey. I love Aaron Ramsey, so I can't comment.
Dear, I've never heard you talk about him, mate. I thought you hated him.
I know, shocker.
I thought you really liked Coughlan. I thought that was the guy that you liked and you were gutted when he left.
Okay, let's get this straight. I love Francis Coughlan's attitude. I just didn't like his ability. And again, he's doing well in Valencia. I'm good for him. I'm chuffed for him. I really am. This is the thing. I want all our players to do well. If you're wearing that shirt, I want you to be brilliant. I just want them all to be fantastic, you know? And it pains me when they're not great. That really does pain me. By the way, Mr. Boblex is drunk on cider. I love it. Go on, Ellis, talk around Ramsey.
Yeah, so Aaron Ramsey, come on, make your day by talking him up and saying how good he was. I think since he has been coming back from injury, he's not been great. And I think we sort of mentioned about Xhaka, and I think out of when we had the fight at the back and there's only two in midfield, Wilshere and Xhaka didn't work for me because they're both left-footed players. They're both very dominant left-footed. They rarely ever use their right foot. So it's very easy for the teams to press them, because they can just put them onto their right foot and they know they're not going to replay it, or they're going to try and shift it onto their left foot. And obviously you mentioned about Santi Cazorla, very two-footed, can sort of play out of pressure like that. Those two aren't the best. I mean, Jack's a bit better than Xhaka, but with Ramsey, obviously he's right-footed. You add a bit more versatility in that midfield, and having obviously them three tonight really helped. And it gives, I think those three together all sort of give each other a sort of boost. Again, Ramsey being there with Wilshere helped out Xhaka. It gave him more options. It gave him a right-footed player to sort of break out. It gave Mesut Ozil, having Ramsey in there, someone who's making runs off the ball, like obviously what happened for the goal. With Jack Wilshere, you've got more options. So when he does dawdle on the ball, or if he does sort of get in a tight situation, he's got someone else to pass, and he's not sort of getting crowded out of the ball because people are sort of worried about, look, there's Aaron Ramsey making that run. And I done it all day. And even towards the end, like, we made all our three subs. Ramsey was still on the pitch. He's come back from injury. He was chasing the ball right down to the corner flag and winning it. And he's got a great engine. And one, he's fit. And one, he's firing on all cylinders. Like I said, he's a quality player. Great engine. Particularly good player. Makes good runs into the box, which obviously Ozil needs. He needs players to make those runs. And you can criticise him for sometimes overcomplicating it. But for tonight, including a lot of other players, for me, he didn't really put a foot wrong, and he put in a great performance. And it's very hard if you were to sit there and say who is man of the match to pick one. Like, for me, loads of players can come out of this game and hold their head up high, knowing they perform well. We'll probably come on to Mkhitaryan, but he was another player as well. There's so many players tonight that I thought personally had a good game, and it was just good to see. After so many poor performances where you couldn't pick out a good player, we're now struggling to pick out who had the best match.
Absolutely, but absolutely right. Carl, come to you first on this. Then I want to pass you to Ellis, because I'll be back now in a second. Milan, were you surprised by? Were they poor because of our performance, or did they have a bad night? Go.
I thought they were 50-50. It was 50-50. I thought we made them look bad. Do you know what I mean, Ellis? I thought today, the fact that how we played, and I don't think they came up, if they ever come up against a team like us before. I think that we hurried them into making mistakes. I think today we kept the ball well, and we made them chase us. We made them try and win the ball back. And our passing today, which doesn't happen very often again, it was very good today. I thought that there were times when we wanted to hit it long, we did, and we made them chase the ball down. And our passing was quite crisp today. I thought that we just made them waste energy that they didn't really want to waste. And I don't know how often that happens in the Italian league, where you come up against a team that's very good at passing, very good at keeping the ball, very good at closing people down, because we close people down when we really need to. And I just don't think they were just ready for how we played today. I don't think they expected it from us. I think they expected us to go all gung-ho. And they saw a different Arsenal, and I didn't think they could respond to it. I think where we changed it up in the first half, we sort of sat back. And then towards the end of the first half, we created so many chances. I don't think they could react to it. And I think that's was the key today, where I think they could have played better. I mean, you don't go 13 games unbeaten, 7 games without conceding a goal, without being good. You've got to give credit where credit is due. But I think today, they just didn't have an answer for our gameplay.
No, I think you're right, mate. I think you're right. Right, let's go to questions then, guys. Let's go to questions. Ellis Mel, we're going to start with you.
Oh, goody.
I think there's a question from Melis. Sorry if you hear screaming. Scylla's kids have dropped off.
That's meant to stay in the chat. God.
Oh, sorry, Carl. sorry, Ellis. I didn't think you wanted that out in the public.
Oh, what have you done?
Couldn't resist. Okay. And 2, 3, 5, 100 kicked off early doors with, should Welbeck shoot more?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I don't know. I think, yes, he should, because Sod's Law, eventually one will go in. The more you shoot, the more chance you have of scoring. So, yes, he should shoot more. Great question.
Absolutely. Absolutely, pal. Carl, Archie asks, do we rest all the players for you to go for the Europa League and sack off the league? Or what do we do?
No, you can't. Rest the players. Who do we play? We don't have an abundance of players to play in anyway. So we have to be economical and careful about who we play. Let's face it, Aubameyang will play every single league game because he's, at the moment, our only fit striker. Well, I know we've got Welbeck, but we haven't got Lacazette. When Lacazette comes back, which I believe he should be back within 2 weeks, I believe, he will definitely take up the mantle of the Europa League, depending on who we get. I don't know how long Bellerin's out for, unfortunately. You know, he tweeted today that he's been playing with an injury for a while, so that just shows the desperation. When we sold Debuchy, I was angry, I'll be honest with you, because we didn't have any cover at right back. Hopefully, and we didn't really mention this, did we? But Kolasinac went off injured today, and hopefully he's not for too long, because I don't believe we have, so at the moment, we don't have any left backs or any right backs.
Overrated anyway, mate. Just play ring backs, square pegs, round holes, all the way.
Exactly, but I genuinely hope Kolasinac is not out for injury. It looked like it was his hamstring. When someone goes down like that and they want to go off straight away, usually it's a hamstring injury. And I really, really do hope he's not out for too long, because obviously Monreal is out injured as well. So,
yeah,
pray for our wing backs.
Let's hope him and Chambers came off as a precautionary thing, and there's nothing that's going to be too long.
Yes.
Ellis the McManus asks, when Lacazette comes back from injury, do you think we should try playing him and Aubameyang up front together? Both need a confidence boost, not world class. Both could help push each other on.
Yes and no. No, for me personally, because we're not really creating the chances for either of them when they're playing up front by themselves. There's also been a lot of talk and chat on the podcast before, but you've probably listened to those about other players sort of getting into Lacazette's way. I think we need to sort out the formation. Instead of trying to shoehorn in both those two guys, we need to sort out the formation that suits either one of them or both of them. For me, I think it's quite hard to do a formation that suits both of them. I think they won't get as many chances if they're both playing up top. Maybe it's something we could try, but for me personally, I'd try and sort out midfield and make sure we can get the proper service to one of them. And obviously, Aubameyang can't play in the Europa League. When Lacazette's back, it'd be good to sort of obviously rotate them between the competitions. So Aubameyang's obviously going to play in the Premier League and then have Lacazette fit and fine and ready to go in the Europa League. For all the praise I've sort of given Danny Welbeck tonight, I think there's chances there that definitely Lacazette and Aubameyang would have put away, regardless of what form they're in. I think they're just the way they are. They're just better finishers than Danny Welbeck. And between the two competitions, they'll both get game times. I'd like to see them both play together, because if you're a defender and you've got both of them going at you, you're going to be worried. But I just can't sort of, in my head, picture a formation that doesn't leave us a bit weak in midfield. At the moment, regardless of how many bodies we put in midfield, we are quite weak. I think most of the matches we've lost this season are to do because we've lost the sort of midfield battle. And if you take out a midfielder to try and get those two strikers in, I think you're just asking for trouble personally, especially in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think the problem is as well, if you play three in the middle and play those two up top, you lose the width. And you know, this one thing we have been lacking recently is width. And we used width very well tonight. it was surprising how well we used them. The right wing left back, and you know, we really did stretch them at times, which is nice to see. So I don't know, you know, and if you use the width, you lose the numbers in midfield, and it's a difficult balancing act with the personnel we have at the moment. Carl Srinath Murali asks, did you guys notice the first line of press communicating with each other? Is this something the players have taken upon themselves to do, considering our coaches aren't going to instruct them? What were your thoughts on that?
I believe I'm in two minds. I don't believe that Arsenal Football Club just literally go onto the training ground and say, you know, do what you want. There's got to be some sort of level of coaching there, whether it's the level of coaching that we require or want, I don't know. But who knows what happens behind closed doors in London currently. But the pressing game was good, and maybe we need to, like I said, because of this slow, methodical game that was today, maybe it allowed us to do that. In the Premiership, maybe we just don't have the legs or the energy to do that because the game's more rapid and it's more fast-paced. You know, if the players did take it upon themselves, then, hey, I'm all for that. You know, take initiative. I really do think it's a good thing to do. But hopefully, like I said, this could be a catalyst for us going forward, and hopefully we can sort of turn around the Premiership against Watford on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be important. We've got a question that coming up. Sorry, I've lost my place here. CDU7549 asks, do you think in big games, Mezat finds it difficult to make those passes as he doesn't have many runners in front of him?
I think that plays a part in it, definitely. I think when you sort of play in the... No offence to AC Milan, I know they've been on like a great run at the moment. They've only conceded one in like 10 games or whatever it is, or however many games they've gone without conceding a goal. But like I've mentioned, they're given too much space to someone like Mesut Ozil. And I think bigger, better teams don't give him that space. And I agree with the question. It also, it's difficult for him, not only when he doesn't have the space, but if the players aren't making the runs, or if the defence in front of those players are sort of marking them out of the game, it's always going to be difficult for him. And we have struggled with creating chances. That's no secret. And I think that is purely because, like you say, like the person the question has asked, it's because he doesn't have the running options. He then doesn't have the time and space to try and find them anyway because he's closed down a bit more. And there is fundamentally, there needs to be a bit more tactical changes, and there needs to be sort of some players in there that can help him out. And I think you spoke about width in this game. We did create width, but we haven't really got much pace in our team. Agreed. At the moment. There's not really an out-and-out winger who would like to get chalk in his boots, stretch the play and create that space for Mesut Ozil, create that space for the forwards to run into. There's no one like that in a team. And I think personally for me, that makes it easier for defenders to mark because they know Mkhitaryan's going to try and cut in. They know when Mesut Ozil's out there, he's going to drift into the centre. They know someone like Iwobi, he's good on the ball. He's one of the probably the only sort of couple of players in our team that can sort of dribble past players. But if they sit back, keep him there, he's not going to fucking run past them and do him for pace on the right wing. And there's no one else really in that. So they know if they're compact, they have a back four that are tight, they can just let Arsenal pass it around side to side and they're not going to get through him. We just need someone who, like the question asked, someone who's willing to make that run. And again, Welbeck, he does have that pace to do that, but does he have the touch to then pick it up and then get round someone? No, he doesn't. We are lacking in that particular position. I think if you get someone who is pacey, who can run past people in the wide areas, then that will give Mesut Ozil the options. It will give more space to the forwards and it will give more space to him. And then we'll see a better Mesut Ozil for me personally.
That was pretty in depth. Well said. Yeah. I like that. I think particularly the point about pace is really apt at the moment. It's, you know, we don't have much pace in the squad, and that is an issue. Carl, Kevin Urenda asks, is Xhaka a hothead? Shouldn't he have taken the ball at the corner rather than shooting badly at the end from distance?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I think, you know, if it goes in, everyone celebrates. Let's be honest. Everyone jumps up and says, oh, that was brilliant. But how often do those really go in? Let's just really be honest. And I think that may be is something that needs to be coached into him. You know, last
funny
5 minutes. I know. Last 5 minutes, you're winning. Take the ball into the corner, because I see Jack do it, and you're thinking, yeah, well done, Jack. Because I was really, because even I was like, take him to the corner, Jack, and he's running to the corner. I thought, yes, you know, maybe that's something that, you know, game management. You're winning. Take the ball into the corner and just either draw the foul and just, or just, you know, block the players. So I don't think he's a hothead. He just needs a bit of coaching in game management.
I think Welbeck was guilty of that as well. He took a shot as well where just, I don't know if he missed hit or the player sort of knocked it off his foot, but he was guilty of having a shot when, like you say, he just take it into the corner, passed out wide.
Yeah, but there's nothing like getting that extra third goal. If they get the third goal, you know, it's better than taking the corner, okay? I do think, Xhaka, the decision-making there, it wasn't the shot to take on, okay? I don't think it was the right time to take on a shot. He could have played it to Ramsey's in front. Ramsey's quite close to him. He could have, you know, a bit of interplay there, or, as you say, play it out to the corner, you know, and waste time. I think it's just a poor decision at the moment in time. Right, I'm going to take this one. Archie asks, and Loki73 has asked the same question. What are your thoughts regarding former players Lee Dixon coming out and sticking the knife in Arsene with his latest comments? Right, I've heard a lot of talk about this. I go on Twitter and you see either side of the argument, get, you know, sort of trying to make him out to be a hero or trying to make him out to be the villain. I think everybody has to chill out on this. Lee Dixon gives his opinion. Lee Dixon has 600 appearances for the Arsenal. Lee Dixon has earned the right to give his opinion on the Arsenal. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. Whether you love it, I don't care. You know, whether you hate it, I don't care. It's his opinion. Lee Dixon has never struck me as a dishonest man. He's always been honest and forthright since he's gone into the media. And life is about perspective, okay? You know, what he, as Andrew said on the podcast this week, you know, two people at the same event may see the same event in two different ways. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people, you know, you see things from different angles in life, and that's the way it is. When, and Dave made this comment on the podcast, when Sid from Leeston says, shut up, Dixon, you know, you have no right to talk about the Arsenal or whatever, yet he's happy to give his own opinion. Shut up, you know? It's not the way to do things. What we do on here, what you guys do in the chat box, you give your opinions. I love watching the chat box, whether I agree with it or whether I disagree with it, okay? That is not, you know, it's not for me to say you were right or you were wrong. It's just about opinions, guys, okay?
And you have different... not fact. An opinion, exactly. So it's what he's saying is not fact or fiction. He's literally just giving an opinion. You can't say to someone's opinion is right or wrong. Like you rightly said, Jason, it's an opinion. Like I can make my opinion, you know. I can say, you know, I mean, this is facts. Norwich is a shithole. No, that's a fact. Yeah. But it's again, it's my opinion. Do you know what I mean? And again, it's not a fact. So you can't, just because someone is famous or in the limelight, you can't say that it's wrong for them to say, because how many millions, and it is millions of people on Twitter give their opinions on Arsenal. Yeah. So why is it they're allowed to and Lee Dixon's not allowed to, just because he's in the quote-unquote limelight?
Absolutely, mate. And this is why I love doing the radio shows now. I look at this chat box. And again, whether I agree or disagree, I think it's great. You know, we don't seem to have the arseholes we've had in the past. And it's fantastic. And the bottom line is, 600-odd appearances for the Arsenal, he's earned the right to say whatever he said, whatever he wants. And if you actually read what was said, as Arsenal number one says, you know, you see that, you know, he gives good and he gives bad. It's just the way it is. Right, on to more questions. Let's get this done tonight. Estrogen975 at Ellis. He asks, is this game won only for the reasons of possible success? Is this game won because there's no motivation in the league? Is that why we won tonight?
No, I don't think it's solely because the league's done. Personally, yeah, I do think the league is finished, but I don't think we've won it purely because of that. I think we've won it because we've gone out there. It's away from the sort of limelight of the Premier League, the spotlight of the Premier League. You're in a competition where, fair enough, we lost to Ostersunds, but that tie was pretty much done before that. A loss is a loss. It's not great to lose to someone like that. But to come up against someone like AC Milan, they are, no offence to other teams in the Europa League, that they're a grade above the majority of the teams in the Europa League. They are a team with history, a name that people will know. And personally, when we did draw them, I thought, great, like, if we got knocked out by AC Milan, at least it's a team I know about. If we got knocked out by Ostersunds or Carrier Bag FC or whatever, then you're like, what the fuck? But at least if you're going to get knocked out, you're going to be knocked out about against a good team. And it's good to see your team play against them, regardless of what people will give Arsenal shit for being in the Champions League and getting knocked out again and again by Barcelona, Bayern Munich, that lot. At least you get to see our team play against them. There's teams lower in the league than us in other leagues that will never get to see their team play against the likes of Barcelona and Bayern Munich. Like today, we got to play against AC Milan. Like, regardless of what their position is in the league, they are a historical good team. They are a force in Italian football, and they'll always be around. Whether this is a blip, whether they'll come back from that, who knows? Like, I don't know much about Serie A, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I think we just, tonight, we sort of looked at the game. Whatever Wenger said tactically, the players took on board. People could argue that maybe they took it upon themselves to do what they did. We won't know. We'll never know that. But at the end of the day, they saw a game at the San Siro against an Italian giant, and they stepped up to the plate. And it's good to see. Like, fair enough, losing to Bayern Munich, Brighton at the weekend. It's like, and then going over to the San Siro, it's completely different. It's weird. And I don't think it's purely because the league's over. Yeah, the league is over, but I think this is a competition that the players are going to be up for, especially when they have teams like AC Milan. Perhaps if they did draw another sort of unknown quantity like Ostersunds, maybe you wouldn't have got this performance they got tonight. Who knows?
Agreed, mate. Carl, Marble Halls TV asks, since you're playing Watford soon, should the players purposely rough up Deeney to see if he has the cojones? And AFC Cam asks, which one of our team will fucking crunch Deeney this weekend? Because at least one of them has to do it. Go.
I guess the only person in the team, two, would be Jack or Xhaka. No, I don't think we should. Why lower ourselves to that idiot's level? You know, what's the best way to really get at him? To beat his team. Yeah. That's the best way to get at him. Like, why should we risk a red card or, you know, one of our players getting injured or something like that? Nah, just go out there, play our game, and win the game. Then after the game, you know, after the game, if we won the game, I'd make every single player go out to me and shake his hand. Every fucking player, I'd make sure they shook his hand after the game. I really would. I'd play with his mind. Nah, let's not, none of that. Let's not lower ourselves. The best way to really piss him off is to win the game. Beat them convincingly.
Nah, when they go up and shake his hand, cojones. But they've got to beat them first.
Don't shake his hand, just fucking grab him by the cojones.
To be fair, Carl, you are right. But I would love somebody to fucking smash him. I would, I'm sorry. Okay, I would. But there you go, that's me being silly. Right, last question of the night, I'll take this one. Kali Joel Guna asks, do you think Ramsey will extend his contract? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. If you look at Ramsey's situation, when he is fit, he's got great output for us. Over the years, he's been played on the left, on the right, out of position, because Arsene trusts him. But, you know, he's not as loved by the fans as other players. You know, he gets the boo boys quite a lot. As was mentioned on Askcast last season, some of the vile abuse he's had on social media, and we see other players getting that this season, has been quite disgusting and just beyond the pale. So, you know, he's got a decision to make. I think a lot of it's going to rest on who's manager. And I think a lot of it's going to rest on money, obviously. you know, because when you see some of the players around the league earning X amount of pounds who don't have his ability and don't have his output, you know, no doubt he'll think he'll deserve that. But I think the biggest factor in it all will be who will be the manager and where he's going to play. That's what I would think would be the biggest factor in it. But will he or won't he? I genuinely don't know. So that's it for tonight, guys. I have to say, the chat box has been absolutely fantastic. It's been a joy to watch over the last few weeks after all the losses. You know, it's been obviously, you know, it's been negative. It's been, you know, it's been brokenhearted at times. It's so nice to see us all up and all high again tonight. Whatever your views on the manager, whatever your views on the club, it's been fantastic. So thank you very much, each and every one of you. You've been fabulous. If you can give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. We're on 89 now. Go on, smash it over 100. We really appreciate it. Carl, you've been fantastic as always. Thank you, mate.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
Always a pleasure, pal. Ellis, you're a shithead, but we love you. Thank you for being part of it, mate.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Jockman is in the chat box. Now, guys, Jockman has got a book coming out, and it's all about the 91 season where we only lost one game. Go out, buy it. It's been retweeted from the podcast account. It's the Nearly Invincibles. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry, Jock. What's the name of your book? Put it in the chat box, please. It needs a proper shout out. But again, I think AFC Cam's just put it in the box here. Yeah. Remember who you are, where you come from, and what you represent. And this chat box always does it. He always does it. It's absolutely fantastic. Can somebody put the name of Jock's book in the chat box, please? Almost Invincible. That's it. Thank you, Danny. Guys, it's going to be a cracking read. Go out, buy it, get it in there.
We're up to 100 thumbs up.
Oh, I tell you. I just love these guys. To wrap up tonight, fantastic win for the Arsenal. Absolutely magic. But again, let's not forget Daniel Astori. You know, it's Italian football has lost a great young player and somebody they all loved. So thoughts are with him tonight. But come on, you Gooners. We're happy boys.